100 Word Stories.
Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntiltheidaidie.com. Sunday, weekly challenge, topic, cold. Let's get to it. First up, it's John Musico. Let's hear his story.
Cold, Uncaring Father by John Musico. We don't have any children. We do have two dogs. For Mother's Day, I do what real fathers do. I arrange a gift under the guise that the kids arranged the gift. I called an online flower delivery service. After my selection of an arrangement, the flower lady then asked, "What should the card read?" I replied, "Happy Mother's Day. Love, Misha, what is that other little fucker's name?" I had never voiced that actually I have no kids, and this purchase is to be from mere dogs. The flower lady's prolonged awkward silence reeked of her abhorrence.
And this is why you should stick to jewelry. Thank you, John Musico. Although, you'd wind up having it engraved, and how do you... Never mind. What's next? Jeffrey, he's got stories. Let's hear what he's got for us today. Jeffrey, lay it on the line.
Hello, once again, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 425, with a couple of stories on the topic of cold. My first story is called Life. Achoo. Bob, be careful. If you have a cold and infect an alien species, we could wipe it out. We'd be worse than those explorers who gave smallpox to Indians. Geez, Dave, you're so negative. Why would a cold kill aliens? Maybe the infection would make them stronger. Or smarter. Did you ever consider that? Events proved Bob right. When the weak and primitive species the two spacemen found contracted Bob's cold, they became strong and intelligent. It was child's play for them to find Earth and kill every human on the planet. Still, it was cold comfort to Bob.
Good sun tight.
And my second story is called Cold as Ice. Come on, baby, what's wrong? His wife was in bed, turned away from him, her body language indicating that he was in for it. He racked his brain for what he might have done to incur her wrath. His affair with his secretary? Nah, she couldn't have known about that. Killing the cat? Nope, blame that one on the kids. Buying an iPad without telling her? That was more plausible, he supposed. Just tell me what I did. She sniffled. It wasn't what you did, it was what you didn't do. Give me a hint. You forgot to take out the trash. He pulled out the couch and put sheets on the uncomfortable mattress. It wasn't so much that he minded being in the doghouse. It was the stupid stuff that put him there that really bothered him. And that's it for me this week. I'll have more stories next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. That was certainly nothing to sneeze at. Next up, we have Richard. Richard, how many stories do you have this week? Let's find out. I'm running out of things to say. After 425 weeks, I don't know. You can only say, tell a story so much. So, I mean, if anyone has any ideas, put them in the comments. I'm just going to say, do it!
Good morning. How are you? Bit of a pointless question, really, since you can't tell me. I'll assume that you're all well. Two stories for you this week on the subject of cold. The first is part 61 of George's story. George's blood ran ice cold. What the hell was a lion doing here on the streets? And more to the point, how is he going to escape from it? Fortunately, carnal instinct kicked in, and in a burst of superhuman speed and agility, George found himself scaling the nearest wall, just as the lion leapt for him. A distinctive smell surrounded him as he landed. That explained the lion's presence. He'd found the city zoo, No doubt the beast had escaped. He collapsed against the wall, gasping for breath, and forgetting one important point. Big cats can climb walls too. Attempt number 4 at story number 2. Absolute zero. He peered at me through thick spectacles. Yes, it's possible. Although we've never tried it before. It would be interesting to see the results. A first for the Large Hadron Collider. I watched, fascinated, as he loaded the sample, secured the clamps, and started up the superconducting magnets of the huge machine. We stood in the control room, waiting. Eventually, the scientist turned to me. The temperature inside the collider has now reached almost absolute zero. The coldest it is possible to achieve. Opening the collider's hatch, he retrieved the world's coldest ice cubes, then slipped them into my scotch. And that's my stories for this week. Here's a tip for anybody out there wanting to read theirs. Don't include words like superconducting. Anyway, that's me done. I'll speak to you all next week. Goodbye.
So you want the topic of the next challenge to be superconducting, right? Just kidding. Hold on, let me add that to the list. Open that up. Superconducting. There we go. Hey, it's supposed to be a challenge, right? Let's see. Who's next? Julie. She's been having a great week. The best of all weeks. And a weekend that's so wonderful on top of it. And... okay. At least things are moving forward, right? Here's Julie.
Oh, hey, you guys. It's Julie. Happy Sunday to everybody. I'm back this week. This is my 2-for-1 100-word story. We'll listen to some New York subway sounds. Actually, no. We'll read the story. I had a tough time with last week's story. It was troublesome. I just couldn't deal with the Hercules thing. I started it and I stopped it. But the cold thing for this week kind of clicked. So we've got this one, and I'll serve this up. It's called 13 Steps into the Underworld. Penance. The subway reeks. Things I care to not think of. My atonement is counting the steps down at Union Station. Worn tile walls, 13 filthy steps. Father, forgive me. I am cold. You've forgotten me. You all have. Gary, the homeless man, smiles and nods. He knows how it feels to be me and alone. I slip him a 20. More atonement. The train heads uptown. A mother bounces her son on her knee to the rat-a-tat-tat of the number 4 green train. I'm going home. Well, thank you all for listening, and thanks to Lawrence, and I will see y'all next week, God willing. Love you. It's Julie. Take care.
Thank you, Julie. Here's hoping that this week is the week of awesome. Next up, we have Tom. I wonder what Tom's got for us. Is there something special at the beginning? Hopefully lots of stories. Or maybe a puppy. Let's find out.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. In 425 weeks, we have had 442 authors. We are inching towards a 21-story average, closing in on 7,000 stories. All good signs of growth. Movement this week is relegated to just Dionysus and Spate. Dionysus passes Kolak of the Collective, Claire, Sojourn, and Planet X-Ray to take the 51st position with 22 stories. Spate passes Linda to take the 27th place, a mere story from entering the lair of the Golden Monkeys. Milestones. This week, your humble scribe racks up 400 weeks in the top 10. Within that window, 646 stories have been posted. Thank you, Lawrence, for the long, strange trip this has been. And I've got two stories this evening. And what was the prompt? Oh, yeah, cold. That was cold. I'm a misogynetic, megalomaniacal sociopath. But that shit was world-class frosty. They're gonna have to build a whole new ring in hell for your blistering frosty ass. The Iceman turned his dead eyes towards Rudy, seemingly deaf to the man's endless stream of observation. Italian or Chinese? Said the big man, wiping the blood from the knife onto the Archbishop's cassock, tossing the handle into the air. Rudy reflectively grabbed it. He was dead before he hit the floor. Yes, Italian would do nicely, dipping his hand in the holy water fount as he left. And story two, a continuation of a well-defined relationship. Part 54. The first 10 of the bandits piled into the hollow carpet cloaked ditch. 5 flat-out broken necks, 5 knocked out cold. Seeing the pileup, El Cid ordered all to dismount and scramble to the left, directly against Bannister's line. They fanned out, and the men behind the carts kept them pinned down. Bullets rang off body armor on both sides of the fray. El Cid Caesar caught the flash of gingham to his right. Women screaming, frantically trying to round up children. El Cid motioned for 10 men to take the women. Doc smiled. His cold calculation would win the day. And that's it for this week.
Thank you, Tom. Oh, wait. That's telling me that my laundry is ready to go into the dryer. While I get the laundry into the dryer, you listen to Tura. Take notes. There will be a quiz, test, exam, and interrogation later.
When I was a boy, it was cold all year round. Even in summer, there was always snow lying. In winter, outside, you had to keep moving. The rivers never froze solid, though. Not enough to walk on, so you could fall in if you weren't careful. I knew people died that way, just a few hundred meters from their own house. If you were lucky and only got a boot full of water, you'd lose the foot if you didn't get a fire going straight away. Everything's warmer now. People say that's a bad thing, but I don't see it.
Thank you, Tura. I wonder what's for dinner. Probably leftover nitnoi. Yeah, I had to go get some of that yesterday. Ah, good stuff. Oh, what? All right. Next up is Serendipity? Okay. I wonder if this coffee is still good. There is no, Bailey's in it, so it's obviously not good. I'll have to take care of that. Here's Serendipity.
There's a common misconception that cold steel is the ultimate killing material. That's incorrect. Steel does the job, whatever the temperature. If you're on the receiving end of a well-honed and sharpened piece of steel, trust me, you're not going to be overly concerned about the temperature of the blade, or whether you're likely to catch a chill from it. For me, it's a matter of preference. Personally, I like my steel to be red hot. You'll be just as dead by the time I've finished. But the sizzle and smell of burning flesh really adds to the pleasure.
Thank you, Serendipity. Words for thought. Thought for words. Words for words. And thought for thought. You know, it's the 15th and there should be a Night Vale today. But I'm not that excited about it. All the ones that they've done while they're out on tour, this Desert Bluffs series they're doing, kind of suck. Oh well. I guess I'll listen to them in one fell swoop when I'm in the hospital or something. Okay, well, with all that excitement aside, how about we do, let's go with Munsey.
Greetings, jibber-jabberers. Munsey here, and I was about to inundate you with jibber-jabber, but then Mr. T swore he was tired of mine, which prompted me to stop. Not because I let him be the boss of me, just that I was impressed that he bothered to show up. Because Mr. T, right? I know, right? No, for sure, it's going to be wall-to-wall Mr. T for the duration of the month. It's a weird soft spot for me. I'm way more obsessed with that guy than anyone in 2014 ought to be. As well you know. I Wasn't There by Christopher Monroe. I'm 36 years old, which means that when the Berlin Wall fell, I was 12. Do you get that? I was 12. The idea of the Cold War and all it entailed, all the fear, hate, dread, and paranoia, are things that I've only ever viewed through the prism of a 12-year-old boy's perspective. I'm reasonably intelligent, good with history. But let's face it, at 12, I wasn't able to properly interpret the level of geopolitical realpolitik the fall of the wall required. I wasn't there yet, intellectually speaking. And now, it's too late. That moment in history is past. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com. And tweets at Munsey Munsey. That's my jibe, jibber-jabberers. Now get out there and jab your jibber, for this is your destiny. And who are you to deny your destiny?
Thank you, Munsey. Although I don't think I have a destiny. I think just what happens, happens. It's a consequence of what you do from moment to moment, sure, and the decisions that you make. But destiny? Huh. Oh, well. What's next? Zachman? Okay. Zachman, what is your destiny? To tell us more stories.
In the rainy season, my neighbors tell me it's cold, but when I ask my upper Midwestern mother if 20 degrees Fahrenheit was cold, she replied, "You mean 20 degrees above zero in January?" Then she laughed 5 minutes. I do have to admit, it is a little cold, especially if you have to work outside. But if I spit into the wind and don't get hit by an ice cube, it really isn't very cold. Currently, it's over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, so I plan on following tradition and writing a Christmas song to get my mind off the heat.
Man, it is hot out there. Thank you for reminding me of that, Zach, man. No, I'm doing laundry, so the short, pathetic walk to the laundry room and back, waddling over to there, and then watering the flowers. I think I'll avoid that. And where am I going? Orlando. That's right. I haven't even looked at the weather there. I still haven't even bought shorts that fit me. Because that's stylin', man. Stylin'. Get some decent board shorts. Rick? Oh, Rick Myers is back. Cool. Okay. Well, welcome back. Oh, wait. I just realized that one of my pockets had money in it. At least it'll be clean, right? Okay, well, here's Rick and his stories, and yeah. I guess I'll have to hit the ATM.
Greetings, people of Earth. I'm Rick from Fort Myers, Florida. Longtime fan of One a Day Until I Die. I tend to think of myself as a true right-brained, left-handed creative. I love finding new ways to exercise and challenge my overactive imagination. I am never happier than when I am painting or writing short stories, songs, and poetry. When I describe our little group and what we do here, I refer to it as calisthenics for the creative mind. Thank you for the workout. The Black Ice Bolshoi. Midnight. -12 degrees. Wind chill of 30 below. Dressed for the weather, armed with a pint of blackberry brandy, two joints, and a crowbar, Ed hiked to the overlook above the interstate. The Black Ice Bolshoi. Cars careening out of control at 70 miles per hour. An amazing thing to see. In dire situations, Ed called for help and was quick to lend a hand. Those times when there was no injury and the vehicle abandoned, Ed pried open the trunk and stole. In the trunk of the green Ford lay 30 pounds of skunk bud. It would be a good year for Ed.
Thank you, Rick. And it's good to know that your brain is getting a workout. I enjoy leading people through workouts while laying on the sofa, being hedonistic and lazy. But the good news is, at least I'm keeping track of it. I have a chart of all the K-cups that I drink, and if they're good or bad or just, although I should be fair about the ratings, some I put milk in, some put cream in to cut the harshness. All coffee is harsh, really. I see this one's supposed to be caramel vanilla cream. It has no flavor. Oh well. I need to have I'm old, so all my taste buds are screwed up. And I meant to get a bunch of the caramel from Cafe Escapes. I wound up with chai, so I dumped that at work. I also dumped the caramel macchiato because it neither tasted like caramel or macchiato. I like the Grove Mills or Grove Farms or whatever it is. They're cappuccinos. They're all right. But it's all just flavored water, really. Flavored water. I should have that. Well, I go get some flavored water. You listen to Spate.
Hey, it's me, Spate. It's Weekly Challenge 425 with a prompt of cold. And I've got another one of those damned hash stories. This one's called Hash, Part 13, and here it is. Bring on this last meal, a testament to a life lived imperfectly. Greasy bits of potato with ground meat compacted together to attain the unappetizing consistency of leftover dog food. Warden had the hash served cold. Not room temperature cold. Back shelf refrigerator cold. Left in the opened can for presentation cold. The saliva thickened in Davidson's throat as he drew the first spoonful to his mouth. Just three chews and a rough swallow down. Then he heard the thunder of hard rain pelting the metal roof. He smiled. Food sucks. Services subpar. but the atmosphere. Oh, the atmosphere.
Thank you, Spate. Hey, this Jadian Clowney guy that the Texans drafted. Sports, I know. So he was hurt back in April. They draft him anyway. He has a hernia problem. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, the first pick, damaged goods. Yeah, this is going to go far. Man. And remember that when they should have picked Vince Young first long, long ago? Yeah, Vince is a washout. He's done. Well done there, dude. He isn't even playing in arena football. That's sad. Oh, well. What next? Oh, let's go to Chelsea. Let's see what she's got to say.
Cold by Chelsea. Reaching out in the dark, her fingers brush air and nothing else. Oh, right, she thought to herself. He's not here. She rolled over in the empty bed, trying to find a spot that was still warm from her body. She missed him with an ache that she could not put into words. In that moment, she did not remember all the logical reasons he was not in her bed. She just wanted to reach out and find him there, warm and waiting. She rolled again, reaching out for her phone. Smiling, she saw the message. He was cold, too.
Thank you, Chelsea. That didn't just hit the spot, but I think it... Whoa. Hold on. Nope, wait, never mind. What was I saying? Well, just updating the playlists and got some to the best of our knowledges that I'll listen to at work this week. Who's next? Lizzie? Okay, good. Here's Lizzie. Her stories... I need to rearrange all this stuff so that the microphone is in front of my face while I'm reading. Okay. All right, here we go with Lizzie Goodcuff.
The massive wall had been built to create two worlds, the real and the unreal. The crowds gathered on one side, effusively enjoying the reassuring calmness. They felt protected. When the old man placed his cold hand on the wall, a cry of anguish erupted, followed by sheer horror. At first, there was only a dry, muffled sound. Then, as if in slow motion, the wall crumbled in a thousand icy fragments. The real and the unreal could no longer be distinguished. People no longer had that soothing comfort. Once more, they were doomed to face reality and to think. This is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Let's see, I got that done. I may need to run the dishwasher in a bit. I got the plants watered. Oh man, they're looking good. I'll post up a photo today of on the Flickr feed. And Tinny's sleeping on the pillow. I have no idea where Mist is, but she's probably annoyed. And laundry's almost done. I've got the 9 hangers ready, because I count out the shirts as I throw them into the dryer. And the money that's in there. I got the car gassed up. Not much else to get done today. I can be a lazy ass and try to watch the rest of Futurama. Yeah. I mean, there's been baseball on, and I just go, Netflix, Futurama. Okay, so Norville Joe? All right, let's listen to him.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 425. With a prompt of cold. I should have said, congratulations, Lawrence, for doing 9 million podcasts in a row, I think it was. or 9 million years or something like that. You're doing a great job, Lawrence. We love you. We love your cats. We love your rants and your bizarre sense of humor. And hopefully you'll keep it up for another 9 years or until you die. Well, here's my story. Esmeralda's glossy red lipstick glimmered in the candlelight of the intimate dining table. She raised her chilled wine glass in a toast and clinked it against his. The silver flecks in Garrison Plastert's hair matched his cold steel eyes. He smiled and brought the goblet to his mouth. Esmeralda smiled as well, but waited to sip her wine until she saw his throat pulse with the swallowed liquid. "You always said I was cold-hearted, Gary. You should have known better than to drink my wine." Agent Plastert, of Supervillain Containment and Control, felt a cold lump form in his stomach. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Ah, cold lumps in my stomach. Otherwise known as leftover Thai food. Although it's better if I heat it up. Thank you, Norval Joe. 9 years. Man, who does something for 9 years? Oh well, I guess I'll keep doing it. I don't know what to, I don't know what to say after that. Time for Dionysus? Okay. Here we go.
Hi, this is Dionysus Close with some cold stories. The first story is called Bad Plan. I asked only one thing. Keep it cold enough to keep me from thawing. How was I to know it was necessary to freeze myself all the time? I asked you, can you work a thermostat? I grew up in a warm climate in my blood. Can you dial a phone if something goes wrong? I asked. My face and fingers were actually a blue color every day by the time I went home. Do you understand? Keep it cold. We were poor, but we could afford heat at least. Now I will perish. If somebody's too cheap to pay the gas to keep the house warm, is that my fault? The next story is called Underground. Life will find a way. Life in these depths is bearable. We sometimes even complain of the cold. As you ascend, the temperature slowly rises. If you are brave or foolish enough to continue your ascent, the heat becomes unbearable. Approaching the surface, you are likely to grow crisp around the edges, even burst into flame at the edges. You will shrivel, or even hop, like water or tears on a griddle. Your internal organs expand. You will unexpectedly explode, with liquids bursting and boiling away. Life will find a way. We stay here below to avoid such violent endings. The next story is called Seance. Our fifth visit to Madame Carrefour was as thrilling as the previous ones. The lights flickered and dimmed. When I glanced at Elise, I saw a glimmer in her eyes. We sat expectantly in the dim, sweltering room. Just as I prepared to question Madame, a manifestation of cold enveloped us. The spirit! "Will you speak to us?" asked our guide above the mechanical hum that suddenly set our senses vibrating. We waited until Elise spoke in a voice I did not recognize. "Please, tell us your needs," whispered Madame. A delicious ambiguity gripped us. "Perhaps tomorrow." Finally, the last story is called It's the Humidity. Was it cold? He exhaled a deep, foul breath. The massive wings trembled, as if themselves in thought. Maybe by definition, but we didn't feel it. It was void, after all, total darkness. A cold, dark void, yes, but a dry cold. It didn't matter to us anyway. We were comfortable, and there wasn't much to do. What does somebody like that need messengers for? But that was the whole point of the eternal flames, wasn't it? We'd been indifferent to all the everyday worries, and then, boom, hot as hell, and humid. Try that on for all time.
Okay, I'll try that on for all time. Okay, let me get to the thermostat here. Set that, and there. Okay. Sure, it'll kick in a few minutes. Thank you for that suggestion, Dionysus. See, I pronounced it right for once. One that I never get wrong is Planet Z. He finishes the podcast usually, although it's been a while since I did the polls and I did this and that. You do a lot in 9 years. You try a lot of different things. And although in 10 years, you pretty much get back into a routine. I'm going to go heat the coffee back up. Maybe the laundry will get done. Until then, here he is.
It's cold in space. Nothing's colder than space. Except when your crewmates shove you out of the airlock into it. The asteroid is under quarantine. Lethal xenomorph alert. The captain ordered us to send down our shuttle anyway. Let's see what all the ruckus is about, he said. We showed him the warning reports, the horrifying video that the few survivors from earlier missions brought back, and the live feed from the surface that showed swarms of acid-blooded predator monsters. I've seen worse, said the captain. So we shoved the stupid asshole into the airlock and dumped him out to space.
That's it for this week's 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. I hope you enjoyed all the stories on the subject of cold. Next week's challenge is storm. You have 1 week to write up your stories for it. Ooh, you also have as much time as you want to comment, share, ponder, think, whatever. Do whatever to this show. Remix it. Turn into a beatbox. What? I don't know. Well, anyway, that's it for this week. I'll see you all next week. Thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.